Take our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting again, we're just going to read through these verses as we've been doing on Sunday nights. Verse number 5 through verse number 7, we are dealing with adding to your faith. And so we have already built the foundation over many weeks dealing with faith and what faith is. And now we are looking, now that the foundation to the degree has been laid, though it's never fully finished. Faith is something that we have to constantly, we start off even with just a mustard seed, and that faith has to consistently grow. You have to practice it. You have to put it into action for it not only to grow, but to strengthen and stay strong. Your maintenance of your faith is as important as the starting of your faith. And many, many strong Christians started well, and then as they got into it, they got used to it, they got comfortable with it, they stopped maintaining it, they stopped worrying about their walk with the Lord in the area of faith, and then they find themselves one day not having enough faith to trust God in even the little things. It can happen to anybody. So, we laid the foundation of faith, and now we've been looking at the different things the Bible tells us here in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we are to add to our faith. And let's just read these verses again. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Once again, reiterating, our goal is to reach charity, the love like the Father. And if you can love like the Father, it's because your love of the Father is proper. And when our love for the Father is right, He can then impart to us a love like He loves in the area of loving others. And so we're trying to reach that area of charity, that deep abiding love, that overabundance of desire to give of ourselves because we care for others. And it's a charity, a love like Christ. So, as we look at this, we have already gone through adding to your faith virtue, the simple obedience, the purity of life by just obeying the Lord and the truths of God's Word. And that virtue, when added to your faith, just enhances your walk in faith with the Lord. And then going from virtue, once we have the right heart about things, we got a foundation of faith, we have a right heart about it, and that virtue, that purity of desire to obey God, to follow Him, once it's right, then you can start looking at the area of knowledge. If your heart's not right, then your knowledge focus won't be right either. You'll start gaining knowledge, as the Bible tells us, dealing with the world, that they are, when dealing with how the world thinks, which we are in today, okay? Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge, ever growing. Listen, even having great knowledge, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. All these things come into effect when the heart's not right and knowledge is built around me and not around Him, then we end up going astray with that knowledge. So before you can ever get to knowledge, the heart has to be pure. The heart has to be right. And so that knowledge we looked at is overall a knowledge concerning who God is, concerning what He promises to be for His people. It's truths about God. It's truths from God's Word. It's the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's will for our life. That is what we're searching for when our heart is right. Then it says, add to knowledge temperance. We dealt with that one, which again, that wasn't fun at all, because that very next week, as I told you already, I had to be in the practice of temperance, and absolute big fail. I told you about the water pipes in here and having a waterfall coming out the wall. That was not good. And it was midnight and I was tired, and I was not very tempered. But I was by myself. It was me and the Lord. And I apologized to Him later. But I was not very happy. I could have ripped the pipes out of the wall and just gnawed on them for a little while. I was so mad. But when you preach on things, or by the way, you teachers, if you teach, okay, just get ready to have to live it. Because God just has a sense of humor. And He won't put you through it until you start teaching it. Then all of a sudden, here you go, big boy. Have fun. That's exactly how I feel most of the time. So, needless to say, as we dealt with temperance and all that we dealt with through that, that was fun enough. Now we've been dealing with patience. And intemperance wasn't bad enough. Patience is the one thing you always joke about. Never pray for patience. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. But we've been looking at, and this is where we are tonight, we've been looking at, as of last Sunday, what is patience? And the world has redefined a lot of things, and we're gonna get into, and I'll do a quick rehash of it, but we're going to get into the next section of patience here in just a minute. But I will tell you, the world has, and we talked about it, has redefined a lot of things in life. And they have also redefined what it is to be patient. And I'll recap that here in just one second. Let me pray, and then we'll dig back in, and we'll try to finish up tonight looking at what it means to be, in a biblical sense, to be patient in our lives. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the chance to be in your house. And I pray that you would help us tonight as we look at your word. Lord, we don't have the ability to understand without your help. We don't have the ability to comprehend the truths of what you want to teach us without the Holy Spirit guiding our minds and our thoughts tonight. And we need your help desperately. And I pray that, Lord, as we look at this area of patience and the truths in your word that teach us about it, I pray that, Lord, you would make it very clear to us what it means as a child of God to learn patience and how to implement that learning, that knowledge of patience in our lives on a daily basis. It is difficult. We know it is hard, and we know we are flesh, and we fight against this flesh on a daily basis. Help us to remember, Lord, that we are more than conquerors. We have the ability of victory through Christ Jesus. I pray that you would help us tonight to learn it, and also help us to be able to instill the knowledge into action in our lives after this time of looking at patience. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for all that's done and accomplished in Christ's name. Amen. So looking at patience, we did say that, of course, in the redefining of things, this world society has redefined many different ideas of right and wrong to water them down so they're not so harsh. It used to be that if somebody lied to your face, it was called a bold-faced lie because that was a very bold thing to do, to lie straight to my face and know that you were lying and you did it on purpose. Now it's just called a misspeaking. I mean, they just misspoke. They didn't really mean. No, they meant it. But now we got to try to soothe it over. Adultery used to be considered something that was awful. It was a home destroyer. It was a life destroyer. It was something you did not do unless you were not right with God, which again is still true, okay? You cannot be right with God and live in sin of any type, but especially dealing in this area of adultery. God told me I married the wrong one and he wanted me to have this other one. No, I'm sorry. God didn't direct you in that. Your flesh might have, but God does not direct to go contrary to his word. Sorry. But instead of adultery, now we can't use that word. That's harsh. Now we just need to call it an error in judgment. Some people never stop having errors in judgment, if that's the case. How about this one? Tolerance, we said last time, is defined now as a positive agreement to differences. You just need to learn to be tolerant. You can't be intolerant because then you're not very positive. You're a negative person in life. Well, there's a lot of things we said last week the Bible is not very tolerant of. And half the time, God's not very tolerant in what he teaches me concerning myself even. He doesn't let me get away with feeling good about the things I do that displease him. He still lays it out on the line, and I sometimes feel like he steps all over my toes. That's not very tolerant of me, but he is patient with me, okay? He's not tolerant of sin. God has never changed. Only man's mentalities have changed. Well, we had that same misconception we dealt with when it comes to patience. Here's what society says patience is, and here's what we bought into. Patience, by the idea of mankind, is just hold on. If you can just hold on, you can survive it a little bit longer. The idea is just grip tight. Hold tight and just pray for deliverance and hold on until God comes through. That's the mentality of patience. But that's not biblical patience. Biblical patience goes a lot further than just holding on. Biblical patience, we did not get to the points last time. I just gave the introduction. I'm going to stop on that point with the introduction, and we're going to go straight into what does it mean, according to the Bible, to have patience. Patience, number one, is being able to bear it without complaining. Ouch. I would dare say everyone in this room has failed on that one. Now, there's one person we talked about that right now has nothing to complain about at all. That I have heard, and again, only got to know him this past year in the times that we got to spend together. But Brother Bob Owens was somebody that, if there's one thing I heard out of every single person that talked to him, it was about the fact that no matter what he's been through in the last, 10 plus years, 16 I think almost, but in all the years, not even being able to speak, and the voice box, everything gone, can't speak, couldn't actually eat the solid food. They still drink his coffee, he enjoyed his coffee, but but he lost what seems so important to so many people. And yet the one thing that describes Brother Bob by almost every single mouth that speaks of the testimony he had was the fact I never know a time that I heard him complain. He went through way more than almost anybody I've ever known goes through, has ever gone through, and I never heard him gripe and complain about what God was putting him through. Now, I hadn't been here all the different years that he's been dealing with the health issues that eventually he succumbed to those health issues. And we just had the funeral this past Saturday, the homegoing celebration of Brother Bob Owens. I haven't been here to witness all of it, but I can tell you this much. When you have that many people, almost every person that talks about him, that is one thing they mention. There had to be something real about his ability to endure it without complaining. Patience, bearing without complaining. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 tells us, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now think about that. He's saying, in the midst of it all, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's the ability to bear it without complaining. Do you realize that a praising mouth and a complaining mouth can't dwell at the same time in the same person? When you are giving praises and when you are speaking the glad tidings, when you are rejoicing in what God has done, you can't rejoice and complain at the same time. Now, you can take turns. You can go back and forth and make people very confused. Are you happy about what God's done for you? Are you complaining about what God's done? You can go back and forth. But when you have a heart of rejoicing and a heart to follow God's word and what it says, hey, not just to rejoice, but be exceeding glad. Have an overflowing, just a bubbliness about you. It just bubbles over. Y'all know that song. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Okay. There's got to be something within you that no matter what you're going through as a child of God, I choose to be thankful. I choose to rejoice. I choose to be exceeding glad regardless of the circumstance. I taught kids, and I'm looking forward to very soon, hopefully, being able to do it here as well, but for over 12 years taught in the public schools as a volunteer coming in. That was what I did as a missionary, going in and teaching Bible character classes in the classrooms. And all the time, I constantly reiterated over and over and over again to those students that I taught month after month with different subjects. But I always came back to the ability to deal with what you're facing in life and learn how to deal with it without letting it destroy you. One of the lessons that I wrote and put together in the last few years there in Louisiana teaching was a lesson on why we struggle. And I used the story of how some, not all, but some butterflies deal with life and how when they come out of that cocoon and they went in a caterpillar, and as they come out of that cocoon, there are some that have to fight and have to struggle. And here's why. It's a story of a man that found a cocoon still all complete together, and he thought it'd be so neat to take that cocoon home and watch that butterfly just bloom out of there and to see the beauty of it. And so he watched it, and he noticed one day that it was about to take place, it was happening. And then as he watched, and he watched almost in agony, he watched this butterfly, and it was struggling. It was having a hard time. It just seemed like it was fighting and fighting and fighting. And he could finally take it no more. He felt so bad for that poor butterfly. He took a little scalpel, a little knife, very sharp, and he just cut away the rest of the cocoon and broke it open and freed that butterfly. I did a wonderful thing. Then he noticed, this thing don't look right. Something's wrong with this butterfly. Its wings aren't spreading out. And, you know, this thing should be really just... you know, expanding and ready to fly, but it's all kind of shriveled up and weird looking. And how's that thing ever going to fly? He couldn't find out. It never did. That butterfly was doomed to the ground and was probably going to be lunch for something because it couldn't get away. And he found out a hard lesson, and that was that there are some butterflies that without the struggle, without the fight to get out of the cocoon, their wings do not have the strength to be what it's supposed to be to one day fly. It can get out of that cocoon, but if it has too much help, it loses its ability to be and do what it was intended to be and do. It's the struggle that gave that butterfly the potential of a fantastic future, of doing way more than it ever could do as a caterpillar. Think about it. It spent its entire life on the ground as a caterpillar, crawling around. It doesn't want to stay there once it has wings. It ought to be able to fly. But it was the struggle that gave it the ability and the strength to fly. See, the same thing is true when it comes to us as a child of God. We don't want the struggles. We beg God to keep us out of the struggles. And sometimes it's not the Lord. Sometimes he's the Lord that calms the seas. And sometimes he decides to be the one to calm the storm, but calm the child in the storm. He doesn't want to take us out of the storm because it's what we're going through that's going to strengthen us and give us the ability to be what he desires for us in the future and to accomplish for his cause and the cause of the gospel around the world to accomplish what he desires as his perfect will for our life. But it's the ability to bear it without complaining. That is true patience. Paul reiterated that whole principle of not complaining during the suffering and while you're in the suffering, no matter what state he was in. In Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, even if it's Alabama. All right? Y'all going to get that in just a minute, okay? I walked right into it, all right? Hook 'em horns. But no, I beg God, Lord, send me home. Lord, send me home. Let me go to, not heaven. Lord, let me go to Texas. I don't mind going to heaven. I'm not ready to go on the next train, if you know what I mean. But I was praying. I thought maybe the Lord's going to give me a chance to go to Texas. I was going to go home where I was born. I was so homesick. But then wouldn't you know it, my brother in the state of Alabama, he's pastoring Alabama, became one of the worst Alabama fans I've ever heard in my life till I got here. But y'all know who I'm talking about. But actually, there's a few of you here. Was it War Eagles? Okay. But I know sacrilege. But here's my brother was awful, and he ribbed me and ribbed me. He was a fan. He pastored down. Y'all, many of y'all know who my brother was, and of course he passed away back in December. But in all of that, I thought the last place I want to go is Alabama. I mean, we came from Baton Rouge. Now, I'm not an LSU fan, but as soon as folks at the church there in Baton Rouge found out where we were looking at and praying about going, where God might send us, you would have thought I was being exiled to the far ends of creation, to the closest thing, if there was a purgatory, it's got to be Alabama, okay? That's just the way they view it. And so, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, gonna send me to Texas, and no, he sent me here. But to be honest with you, we're not brokenhearted over that, okay? We're more than happy to be here. But patience, no matter what state, and again, getting back to that, as Paul said, no matter whatsoever state I am in, whatever state I am therewith to be content. He goes on to say, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You say, that doesn't make sense. How can you have both things? Well, I can be full of the joy of the Lord and yet at the same time still be hungry for more. Still be hungry for what God wants to give me. Lord, I can't get enough of what you desire for my life. I still want more. Hey, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Listen, you can be full of what the Lord has to give, just constantly full and overflowing, but if you don't keep filling yourself, you'll stop overflowing. And eventually you'll dry up. So yes, I've learned how to be full and be hungry at the same time. How to abound and suffer need. Lord's been good. And yet I still understand that there are needs. And I still understand that there are things. Listen, that sometimes you just feel like you're going to suffer through it. But I know how to trust God. Because I know how to abound in the work of the Lord. Goes on to say, and this is a verse. Now listen, here's where a lot of people go to. They go to one verse, they stick with that one verse, and they enjoy that one verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a wonderful verse. I do. I like that verse. Very good verse. Most people use it without giving the first couple of verses before it. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Prior to that, learn how to, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. You put those into context with, I can do all things through Christ, it changes the entire thing. We look and say, I can do all things. We can do anything with God. Listen, you take this modern day mentality, take this modern day piecing out the Bible and just grabbing the pieces I want to get so I can make a little slogan and I can make a selling point for t-shirts and hats and everything else. You know, the WWJD stuff. Not against the idea, what would Jesus do? That's not a bad thought. But it's become more of a selling point than it is an actual truth that we live by. And the same thing is true. I can do all things through Christ. And I don't know how many people live a life of selfish desires, live a life of selfish me, what I want. I'm going to build everything around what makes me feel good. And then when they get to things that they really just, they want it their way, they use a verse like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you know their life. You know their background. You know what they post on Facebook on a regular basis. And you're like, really? You're going to use that verse to try to claim what you want? And it has nothing to do really with what God wants. It has to do with what you want. It's very obvious. Now, I'm not being accusative, but you know the kind of people I'm talking about. It happens all the time. That is society's mentality of Scripture. Pick and choose and grab and piece together and let's make it what we want it to be so I can feel good about myself. And so they use a verse like I can do all things and forget that before all that, he talks about suffering. He talks about enduring. He talks about patience, learning to be content. Knowing that in all of this, I can do all things. Hey, I can learn patience. I can learn that for whatever state I'm in, I can learn to be content because I can do all things. That's not the context that most people look at that verse in. Patience, very simply, is bearing no matter how much it requires. It's bearing it no matter how much it requires and doing it without complaining. A couple more verses. I don't know how many more weeks we're going to be dealing with patience, but it's going to be a while. Y'all have to be patient, okay? I'm teaching that very faithfully. All right, 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Listen, the sufferings of Christ. Think of how much He suffered and the fact that we're promised as a child of God. If we reflect Christ, we can expect suffering. We can expect to be persecuted. We can expect the world, society, to not understand and to attack. Because if they hated the Lord, they're going to hate those who follow Him. And the whole thing comes down to, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. We don't survive what life is going to dish out to the child of God and what society is going to help it dish out. Listen, I said before, life at the Garden of Eden prior to sin was perfect. It was intended to always be perfect. It was intended to never have suffering, never have sorrow. It was intended to be a constant walk with the Lord and fellowship with the Creator. That was life's original purpose. And that's a lot of rain. But that is life's original purpose. But watch. As soon as sin came into the picture, life's purpose now is what came about by proclamation of decree from God Himself as the consequence of sin. And that is pain, that is suffering, and that is toil, and that is sweat. Everything in life now is not about the beauty of it. Life is not about the wonderful things. Life is not about how much I can enjoy. No, life is all about pain. Because life itself is a consequence of sin now that from the point Adam and Eve rebelled. And of course, wherefore as by one man, it's mainly Adam's problem. He knew better. God gave him direct instructions and he broke them. He willfully chose. Wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Since that moment, life's purpose is to bring pain. So what are all the good things, preacher? What are all the wonderful things in life? Simple. That's God's blessings in spite of what life is supposed to be. That's God giving the ability to enjoy what shouldn't be enjoyable. That's God's giving the ability to His children to be able to learn what it is to not just endure and not just to survive, but to live in the blessings of God when life itself is supposed to be all about the consequences of sin. We're supposed to be miserable. I sweat 24/7. It's miserable. That's life. You ever heard the saying, that's life, get over it? Guess what? Everything you hate, that's life, get over it. So, hey, preacher, so how do we enjoy life? Simple. You put yourself in the center of God's will and let Him bless in spite of what life dishes out, in spite of what society throws your way, in spite of all the things that go against you. The only way we find any positive, the only way we find any joy, the only way we find, as the Bible says, any consolation, it's by Christ. It's being in the center of God's will. How do we know patience? How do we understand these things of just enduring and bearing it without complaining? We learn it through Christ, through following Him. Last verse, we're done. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Hey, how many times has that happened? I just don't get it. Why is this happening to me? Have you ever seen the Facebook posts? I know some of you may not be on Facebook. It's almost comical, but honestly, I can't read too much of it because it really just irritates me after a while. But have you ever seen where people spend more time, they write booklets on Facebook about how unfair life is. And then, in the midst of telling people not to be judgmental, they turn right around and they spew out a whole bunch of venom about their judgment towards other people. Don't judge me, but I'm telling you what, you people out there. Now listen, if there's one thing I despise, it's when supposed Christians. And if I'm not careful, I'll be one of them. I'm not excluding myself. We're all susceptible. But if there's one thing that just eats me alive, is seeing a person who claims to be a Christian and in one post shares this stuff about Bible verses and everything, and the very next post acts like an absolute heathen, spewing out everything they possibly can, griping and complaining about, this is just not fair. I don't know what's going on. Why are people being so... I mean, just on and on and on. And you can tell that scripture verse they posted 2 days ago didn't help them whatsoever. Because it's just something to post. It's just... It's the social media life, folks, is a complete farce, if you want to put it that way. It is complete... just a shell. It is one more way that people can appear to be spiritual and yet be as empty and dead like dry bones. They're white, as the Bible puts it, whited sepulchers. Beautiful on the outside and full of dead men's bones. Listen, I'm not saying everybody on Facebook is that way. I'm not saying everybody that posts scripture and stuff like that is all fake. What I'm saying is you can tell the ones who are obviously not right with God and they just use Bible, use scripture, use spiritual things to appear better than they really are. Because the only one being fooled is the one doing it. Everyone else can tell. And unfortunately, it puts a stain on the cause of Christ. The Bible instructs us, 1 Peter 4, where I was, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Listen, don't blow up. Don't lose it on social media or any other place where people... You're supposed to be a child of God. You're supposed to trust God. Don't show everything but a trust for the Lord when you're in the midst of society that's watching for something to blame on Christians. Some fake thing they can point out. Goes on to say in verse number 13, but rejoice. That seems like an odd request, or even I should say command. It doesn't say consider rejoicing, it says rejoice. In as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I sure would hate to think that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and His glory is going to be shown and I'm going to have to possibly in some areas just hang my head in shame because I should have been acting this way and yet I was acting that way. And now that I'm to a point where I could be standing tall by my Savior and saying, He's the one I was trusting. See, He's the proof of everything that I said I believed in. I'd hate to think that I'm going to have to hang my head sometimes and say I really didn't give him the credit that I thought I did. I really didn't represent him the way I thought I did. I sure would like to have the promise that's given to us that we can stand with him when his glory is revealed. I can stand there with exceeding joy. You see? I told you. Not that it's about me. No, but look. It's real. It was true. He is a wonderful Savior. He's everything He promised and more. If I'm going to be able to do that, I've got to be able to, in these days where I live, in the time frame God's given me in life, I've got to learn to live by biblical patience, bearing it without complaining. I don't understand why. I don't get every answer. I don't have every single definition of what God plans to do through all these things. Listen, only He knows the big picture. I just see the small pieces, and sometimes they're just not too pretty. But I'll trust Him anyways. And I'll find something to be thankful for in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. Give thanks. Another command. Learning how to be joyful even when it's not a joyful time. Say, how do we do it, preacher? Consider him. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. That would be me. That would be you. Such a contradiction to himself, and yet he still chose to endure. He still chose to suffer. Consider him, and when I consider what he's done, I can suffer what I'm suffering and be thankful for what he did for me. I can learn to have joy and be patient in his perfect will. You say, has that come real easy? Nope. It comes with a lot of practice and a lot of trusting. And that faith you say you have, that foundation of faith in Christ, you've got to rely and stay on that foundation. Don't walk away. Let it remain. Let it build. Adding to your faith these different things. And we'll pick up number 2 next week, dealing with patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you.